past couple of weekends, announcements were made with a great deal of changes in the Diocese of Lafayette, with new parishes getting new pastors here and there. Thankfully, Villeplat's been spared all those changes. But one of our former pastors, Father Mario Romero, is being transferred from his present parish of Nativity of Our Lady in Liberia to Holy Cross Church in Lafayette. So we certainly want to keep Father Mario in our prayers, and his new parishioners as well, that all goes well with the transition. The very nature of the Church as the body of Christ begins, obviously, with God. If the Church is the body of Christ, and we are, then Christ is the Son of God and is divine and is God himself, then we find that the origin of communion in the Church begins with that communion of Jesus with the Father and the Son by the power of the Spirit. The Trinity is founded on love, the love of the Father for the Son and vice versa, that love being the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, of course, is the foundation of every human society. God makes human beings in his image, and he calls us into communion. The very first two human beings had a communion of life and love as husband and wife, and were called by God to bring forth children in that first commandment. Be fruitful and multiply, and thus the family becomes the original community based on the Trinity. And the family of humanity gives birth to the family of the Church. Thus, there is no such thing as a church, no human community, without the very presence of God, the very presence of love. I was asked by someone this week why it was that we Catholics didn't have a group of volunteers like the Baptist had, going out and offering service to those who were needing help after last weekend's storm. Well, I thought about that, and it's not like we don't have the numbers, we certainly do, and it's not like we don't have the already existing organizations that could get together and do the same thing as the Baptists did. We have that as well. And it would have been great if our organizations would have done the same, very same thing. But on the other hand, there is really nothing that's stopping us. There's nothing stopping us individually from looking out for one another. We're all called to service, all called to love. It didn't have to be a church organization. God is calling all of us to do that. Nothing stops us from looking out for other persons individually, to see the needs of our friends, the needs of our relatives, our neighbors, or anyone else, for that matter, who might come across us looking for some kind of assistance. We all know people who need yards cleaned, people who need groceries to be delivered, maybe a ride to the doctor, a ride to church, or simply just somebody to talk to. But it does seem that far too often we get caught up in the busyness of our day-to-day lives that we fail to look out for the needs of others around us. We have a habit, just because of the way life goes, of focusing on ourselves, our obligations, and our needs alone. And we're all guilty of that, myself included. It's a dangerous place for us to go. This self-centeredness begins to color the way that we perceive things. It begins to color the world and our view of it. As a good priest friend of mine puts it, we far too often see reality not as it truly is, but as we perceive it to be. We often see reality not as it truly is, but as we perceive it to be, or sometimes we see things as we want it to be. We're very fond of our own personal ideas and opinions, our views and our prejudices. What happens in our minds is that what matters only is what we think matters, what I personally think matters, what I think is important, that is truly important. What happens at that point? That self-centeredness, that myopicness of going back in, causes us to box ourselves up. When we box ourselves up in this tiny self-created world, we begin to divide everything. We divide up each and every human society. We divide our family from other families, our members of a family from other members of the family. We begin to divide our communities. We divide our nations. We have factions, factions of us and them. Us and them. And if they don't conform to our way of thinking, then it becomes us against them, us versus them. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with people being who they are. You being you and them being them. But the question is, posed by Jesus, Can't we see one another as brothers and sisters in Him? Can't we come to understand and to respect one another? And in that love and respect, let the grace of God grow into a deeper love for one another. Remember what the Lord Jesus teaches us, that love means seeing Christ in the other person. Don't get me wrong, sometimes He's pretty well hidden, but He's there. But love means looking for Christ and seeing Christ in the other person and remembering His own words, what you do to me, what you do for me, the least of these, well, what you do for them, two or four, the least of these, you're doing essentially for me. Jesus says that. Love always wills, desires the good of the other person. That's what love is, a will for the good, desire and a will to bring it out, the good of the other person. That is their physical well-being, as well as their mental well-being, their moral well-being, their spiritual well-being. We're looking for the good of the other person. That's why as Christians, we act on that. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We house the homeless. We help to heal the sick, bring healing and peace to others. We educate, we counsel, we support them. We're there to help other people to be and to do their very best. In a word, going back to what God does, how He builds things up, we do the very same thing. We build up persons. We do not destroy them. Satan does that, not us. We build, we do not destroy. But here's where it gets sticky. Sin is destructive. Sin is always destructive. Sin tears a person away from God. Sin tears a person away from grace. It tears a person away from love. Therefore, if you and I are to will the good of other people, as we should, and to will their spiritual good, then sometimes it's necessary for us to pray for them, which we ought to do, to pray with them, not just for them, and even to speak openly about our faith with them, to share the faith and explain why we do what we do and why sin should be moved off and cast aside, moving away from sin and living in grace. That's not always an easy thing either. It's a call for all of us to repent and to change our lives, to become better persons, but in that too, to call other people to do likewise, an invitation to others to abandon sin and to seek holiness. Lots of people will not like that. They didn't like it when Jesus did it. They won't like it when we do it either. But we have to. It's an act of love. Lots of people have boxed themselves up in tiny, self-created worlds where their ideas and opinions, their views and prejudices have been shaped apart from God, apart from grace, apart from truth, apart from love. So do we love these persons anyway? Of course we do. God does, and we should. We love the sinner. We do not like the sin. And because of that, we cannot allow others to live in this falsified world where evil is considered to be good and good is considered to be evil. When that begins to be the rule, that what is truly good is evil and what is evil is seen as something good, this is no good for anybody at all. It is harmful to everyone, and that causes destruction. Well, then we'll get the question, well, who are you to tell us what is right and what is wrong? Who has the authority to decide between good and evil? Only one answer to that question, God. God. God in the person of the Holy Spirit. The advocate who Jesus said the Father would send in His name to teach us everything and to remind us of all that He told us. The Holy Spirit must guide our thoughts, our words, our actions, our desires. Otherwise, we have no peace. And Jesus says, the peace I leave with you is mine, and I give that to you. Not as the world gives it, where we just kind of make believe that everything is a-okay when evil begins to replace good. But sometimes we have to cause a little bit of trouble in order to establish true peace through true love. But Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The Holy Spirit will be there with you, and so will I. Whoever loves me will keep my word, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our dwelling with him. The word you hear is not mine. The word that you speak is not yours. It is that of the Father who sent me. And the Father who sends the Holy Spirit transforms us. The Holy Spirit who breathes life and wisdom into humanity. the Spirit of love who fashions us into the very image of God's own children, uniting us to the only begotten Son, and through the Son uniting us to the Father. That's why we're here. That's why the Church exists. This is why the Church of Christ, which is the body of Christ here on earth, has been called by God to continue the work and the ministry of Jesus himself. We continue, or at least we should, to preach and to teach the gospel. We continue to heal the sick. We open the eyes of the blind. We seek holiness ourselves and invite others to do the very same, to live in truth, bringing holiness and truth to an unholy and dark world, all again through love. Just as Christ broke the bonds of sin and death to build a civilization of love and peace in life, we are to do the same thing. The Church has been given that authority and that command. Why? For no other reason that Christ's love, that Christ's way might be known upon the earth and his salvation be known among the nations, that his Holy Spirit can guide the hearts and minds of everyone, everywhere, his name be praised by all the peoples of the earth. For that, brothers and sisters, may God bless us, and may we in turn love him and serve him. May we keep his word and love and serve one another. May our love for the world be the love of Christ in us for them. And may all the ends of the earth come to love him, know him, to fear and to bless his holy name. Amen.